T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Best Brewers coverage. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by Concordia University Wisconsin Veterans Service Department. Dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. Go to cuw.edu/veterans. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com and MLB.com, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Adam, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm good. I'm wide awake.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, so last night, you know, I mean, you're not going to win every one of them, obviously, so I'm not overly concerned about it. Anything you take away from it? I thought it was interesting that Yasmani Grandal was the only Brewers batter that took a walk last night.
I didn't even notice that, Bill. Good scan of the box score. What stood out is Chacin sort of pitching on a night he definitely didn't have his good stuff and still continued that streak of 3 or fewer runs. It's like 17 games now, 17 starts if you count the postseason. So he's like, you know, he's like their steady guy. Just keep him in every game. Middle of the order remains pretty cold. Jesus Aguilar is hitting the ball hard with nothing to show for it. Shaw's really struggling right now. Moustakas broke out a little bit last night, but he'd been really cold. I think that's one of the things that's holding the lineup back a little bit right now is they're not a long lineup right now. It's Kane and Yelich and Braun on a lot of nights, and then not a lot beyond that. So that kind of stood out to me. And no Josh Hader. So it was a game they didn't need Josh Hader. But Council was talking before the game about, you know, they're going to still do the right thing by him. And that means that there's going to be days coming off multi-inning, 30-plus pitch stints that he's not going to throw. And yesterday was one of them.
And
Mike Trout's really good.
I was going to say Mike Trout is really. It was, you know what? It was really cool to see the tip of the cap last night on Christian Yelich's part.
Yeah,
when Trout went after that. I thought that was pretty. Hey, by the way, I was listening on coming in this morning and talking about they were talking about Ben Gamel, and give me your thoughts on Gamel because for what I've seen, he's had some hard outs, and the guy's had some. I mean, go back to that Cincinnati series at Great American. He had some really solid outs. I mean, playing in the outfield, I thought he did a pretty solid job.
Yeah, it was. I mean, first of all, maybe we're all spending a little too much time arguing about a fourth outfielder, but Chuck was. This morning on the station in Milwaukee was, you know, not real happy with Ben Gamel so far. I said I would put him as one of the pleasant surprises, what he's done for him defensively and then just sort of the quality of the at-bat so far. He does not have the results to show for it. I think he will. You know, Domingo Santana is off to a fantastic start for the Mariners, but, you know, we can see the logic in the trade they made. They wanted a left-handed bat, a guy with an option. A defensive player that they can play all over the outfield so that when whoever of Braun, Yelich, Kane has the day, you can plug in Gamel anywhere and feel good about him. So I don't view that as a problem right now. I think he's been okay. I think they have bigger problems with some of the main guys in the lineup just still searching for that rhythm. That's going to have a lot more to do with wins and losses, I think, than how Gamel is swinging the bat.
I'm looking at this pitching rotation, and people keep talking about whether or not between the Brewers and the Cubs, who's going to have the better pitching. And we saw the Cubs get a win yesterday, but they're clearly their bullpen has struggled. So, you know, we're only, 11 games through the season, but any specific thoughts on that right now as this team just tries to kind of find its groove, I guess?
Well, they still need to figure out, like, some stability in the bullpen. And that's not surprising when you lose the two – you know, your two best right-handed relievers. I don't think it's a surprise that there's still some questions to be answered there. So Jeremy Jeffress throws again tonight for San Antonio. At some point he's going to do some back-to-backs, but they're looking at getting him back when the team is home. some point in that homestand next week. That's going to be a really big piece because it frees you a little bit with Josh Hader. Now, I'm assuming Jeremy Jeffress is Jeremy Jeffress, and that's kind of a separate question that's going to have to be answered. But if he is, now you've got two studs at the back end. I think that makes everybody else slide into a little more comfortable spot because right now, like last night, if they take the lead, you know, it's probably Alex Wilson, maybe Junior Guerra as your lockdown guy. And look, I mean, Wilson's done a lot in the league. Junior Guerra is actually sort of a promising guy in that bullpen where he can just go out for short stints, let it eat, be fastball splitter, and see what he can do for an inning or so at a time. That might actually turn out to be a really good fit for him. But, you know, he's not done it in these big spots before. Mike Trout, ninth inning game on the line. So there's some legit questions about how that would work out. So getting Jeremy Jeffress back would be a big deal, I think, for Craig Counsell, and it would move everybody into maybe a better fit in that bullpen. But they're still searching for some order out there, and they are definitely going to need some guys to step up and be good, maybe better than expected. Because if you think back to last year, they early in the year, they definitely had that with Jennings and Albers and even Jacob Barnes. I'm talking about the early part of last season. They are going to need some guys to do that again, and I think everybody is still kind of looking for who's that going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you used Hader in 2 2/3 innings the other day. I mean, look, you're basically saying that every game matters, and I appreciate that because they did win the game. And ultimately, you win kind of two when you beat the Cubs or you beat anybody in your division. I'm just wondering how much you can use him. You know what I mean?
Well, look, it's the same question as last year, and it's the same parameters sort of that were debated and dissected by all of us last year. And the bottom line for him remains here. The best way I can put it is every reliever is different in terms of how they are best used and how they are able to pitch. And some guys are blessed with this rubber arm that they can go out there and be strong and pitch every day. Other guys are electric and they require rest in between these electric outings. And Josh Hader, it's just pretty clear after a year plus that he is in the latter category. And they pushed it this year out of necessity and then just the way the games went, where they needed him a lot early. But after an outing like that game against the Cubs, I mean, he's just going to have to be down for a couple of days. I mean, he might be down again tonight. Craig Counsell told us yesterday he was down. He's not going to tell us tonight. It puts him at a strategic disadvantage to do so we can kind of understand why. But I think there's a chance he doesn't pitch tonight either. And it's one, a matter of strategy, trying to win a really important game, win the games that are there for you to win, worry about tomorrow. But then it's also, and this is a really big part of it that I think people overlook, it's also just what you can do with Josh Hader. It's what he is physically capable of doing. And not that he can't go out there and pitch 3 days in a row, but you've seen it in the second and third innings or when he goes back-to-back. Just look up at the radar gun, and you can see it's a little different when he's pushed back-to-back innings or back-to-back days. So you want that really, really good Josh Hader. How do you get the most great innings out of him? And they have found it to be that it requires rest. It just is a reality. Everybody, we can debate it till we all turn blue, but it's just how it is. And I don't think that's going to change. I mean, he's 25 now. Maybe he grows into his frame more and that changes. But I don't know. It seems to me like this might be just sort of how he is best used. And he can still be the best reliever in baseball pitching this way.
So moving forward, and this is the last one before I let you go, but moving forward, people wanted to put a lot of stock, and I did. Look, it was a big series. It seemed like a playoff atmosphere almost at Miller Park this past weekend. How big of a series do you think that really was?
Well, I don't know that it's the individual series, but I do think that these first 10 games were important in that everybody can look at the schedule and see that their first month and a half plus is brutal. And it had the potential to bury them early, and instead they started 8-2. So I think that gives them a head of steam in kind of the way they won some of those games. They kind of pulled some wins out that were there to lose, and they came away with wins. And I've said this to you before, Bill. I think there's something to that early in the year when you you get a little belief in a team, that team can become dangerous. And I think it goes the other way, too, with the Cubs. You know, that you get a little doubt in there about that bullpen. I think that can be dangerous for Chicago in a bad way. So, you know, I these early season games, are they all count the same, but I've always felt like you can learn a little bit about a team in the first couple of weeks. And I think the, you know, Brewers fans should be a little bit, you know, pretty optimistic, I think, about what's ahead, that they've done what they've done, missing the pieces that they don't have right now.
Always good, Adam. We will chat again soon, my friend. Have a good weekend and good week, and then we'll chat again next week, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go, Adam McCalvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years have been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That is 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.